Are you ready?
WebRadio.com, your internet radio destination for the new millennium. Live anytime.
On any day.
From anywhere. It's WebRadio.com. Nothing can compare to what's happening across the network. So come listen to this station live at WebRadio.com with music,
news,
sports,
whatever your taste.
It's there. Web Radio also has some cool giveaways all the time. Be sure to check it out. WebRadio.com. WebRadio.com.
.3 KCLA FM, your source for dating advice in Los Angeles. You're listening to the Dating Advice Girl Radio Show on 99.3 KCLA FM, your source for dating advice in Los Angeles.
Erin, the Dating Advice Girl, here on 99.3 KCLA FM in Los Angeles, California. How is everybody doing today? Yes, so we are back, you guys. We are back, guys and gals. We are back in the studio with the Dating Interview Project. I'm so super proud of it. We've got two, where's it? This is episode three, I believe, of it now. Episode 160 of my show. Anyway, this is the third episode of a dating panel interview project that I'm doing. And, you know, those of you who have listened to the first two episodes, then you know what's coming. It's going to be a really honest conversation with a bunch of people from different backgrounds talking about their experiences dating. For those of you who are just now finding this interview dating panel series, you'll see if you found it on my website or on iTunes or Podomatic or Stitcher, the explanation, or YouTube for that matter, the explanation's there. The purpose for it is to create and continue an intelligent conversation and a very honest conversation from people who are experiencing things rather than me as the quote-unquote expert talking about people's experiences. I just feel like right now it's super important that we actually hear from people and hear their specific experiences rather than pretending or acting like we know everybody's experience, because everyone's experience is very different. And so, you know, I'm just hoping that you listen with compassion. Maybe there's some new things you'll hear that you never even considered. That's my hope too. You know, maybe there's some things that, you know, our panelists will say that you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't think about it that way. That's really interesting. So this episode is actually 20 something and 30 something men. Very interesting. These guys are awesome. Shout out to all the dudes who were in this episode. You guys are fantastic. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, all the time in Los Angeles especially, I hear people say, a lot of women, but some guys as well, oh my God, there's just no good people in LA. There's no good guys in Los Angeles. Well, you're going to hear from some really good guys in Los Angeles who are also very attractive as well. So they're double threats in the best possible way. But so, you know, it's just going to be, it's really interesting to hear from them and their experiences with dating and consent and frustrations they have actually with dating. Because for whatever reason, I feel like, and maybe because I am a woman, I hear a lot of women just bagging on guys. And I'm like, listen, I know so many great men in this town and other towns. So you're going to hear from some of them now. And with no further ado, because this is, I just want to make sure I have time to play the whole thing. Here is the dating panel with 20-something and 30-something men, and they are amazing. Here we go. I'll see you guys in a sec. Okay, hi. Tell us your name.
Robert.
James.
Micah.
Tapan.
Daniel.
Okay, so did you learn about consent growing up? And if so, from where? From parents, sex ed, friends, or peers?
Television.
Yeah, television raised most of us, but I still learned it through just the way my dad treated my mom, more of a courteous way of treating her. And then as we got older, my sister was assaulted in that way, and that changed me, because it was a boyfriend of hers that just really took it too far, and I was too young to do anything about it. So I was really angry at him, and I was angry at myself for being so young and not being able to do anything about it. So it's just one of those things where you just decide in your life that I'm gonna be that guy. So if she says no, if there's any that she's uncomfortable with this, I'm not doing it, because I want to be labeled that guy. Now when you're with your friend, labeled that guy. Now when you're with your friend, sometimes they're like, oh, you should have pressed it, you should have pushed it, you know, you should have done this, and it's like, no, I'm not you. That's rape, dude. I'm not doing that. So you might think it's cool and it's funny, but that's just not funny to me.
I feel like it was brought up in sex ed. I don't remember how much, because when I think about sex ed now, I think more about, you know, the protection and just the, you know, information, like medical information, and I am pretty sure consent was definitely a part of that. And my parents probably talked a little bit about it, but I think they felt like they raised me well enough that they would just think that I would respect a woman enough. But yeah, I would probably think that television or something, pop culture, where you first come across something, you see where rape is involved and no meaning no, and like that's where, like, it really, I feel like it really gets ingrained in you, like, because it'll be able to, you know, really push it on TV and make it like a big issue, and so you can really feel how important it is.
I don't ever really feel like I was taught consent. It feels like you should know right from wrong. Right. Things just feel like it's innate. Like you can feel when you're doing something right and something wrong. Some people don't have that feeling. I don't know if it's mental, or maybe you do need to be taught how to feel that way, but I can't remember ever being saying tall that she says no, listen to her, like, duh. Like, yeah. Duh. Yeah. But yeah, so I don't ever remember blatantly taught that. I just feel like I've always known, like, it's fucking common sense, but obviously it's not. So that's what trips me out. Like, that's what I can't grasp. Maybe I'm not supposed to grasp, because it's crazy, but it's very simple to me.
Yeah, it does seem intuitive. It does seem like it probably did come from, you know, family, television. You know, it's how you learn everything. You know, it's how you were brought up. But yeah, it just seems like when you just, I think somebody made an analogy to like a cup of tea. Like, you want a cup of tea? No. Well, I'm not going to force you to have a cup of tea. Right. That's just crazy. Yeah. It just doesn't make any sense. You know, oh, but it'll feel really great for me if you had this cup of tea. Like, that's just an absurd idea.
Yeah.
So
weird. Yeah,
it's just so weird. Yeah, that's such a strange. Yeah. So it just makes sense. But yeah, I don't want to discount the fact that it probably, you know, I'm sure I watched, you know, it's probably something on Saved by the Bell or something. Yeah. Like, the sex ed. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, the whole episode was really good.
No, it's like subtle things. This teach you kind of without you realizing it. Like,
for sure, though, for sure.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah.
As men, do you ever, like, experience the other end of consent? Like, I hear a lot of talking about respecting women's consent, but what about, like, vice versa? Do you guys ever feel any violation on your consent, or, like, any difficulty expressing your boundaries of consent, or having any issues with that with females?
I used to, yeah. I was kind of a prude when I was younger, and so, yeah, I think that, for the most part, women can get away with anything. It's like, it's not like they're going to, I don't think that would stand up very much in court to say, like, I was raped by this woman. Unless she was really strong.
He kind of knows if he didn't want to, he wouldn't have. And a woman, I guess, feels a little more, like, vulnerable or taken advantage of, when it's definitely possible for the man to be taken advantage of, but I don't know, it sounds sexist. Like, you're there, like, you're...
You don't have to be on the ring.
Like, for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, I mean, there are methods that they do to get you up and ready for it without your consent.
That's true.
But, I mean, I think that even then, everything is just so skewed. I probably should frame that.
But, like,
yeah, it's true.
But, like,
look it up.
Physically, just be like, not right now.
Right.
And leave. Mm-hmm. And then you don't get raped. Unless she's just a horse.
Like, but I guess it just seems less predatory when the there's a woman initiating it toward a man because it seems more celebrated when they go, oh, yeah, oh, she wanted you, you know, and it's like, nah, if he didn't want to do it, he didn't want to do it. And it doesn't make him weak if he doesn't want to do that. And we're seeing that a lot now in the news where we have a lot of teachers taking advantage of their male students. And they're not getting the same type of crime. They're not getting the same type of penalty for this crime if it were a male student doing it to their female. I mean, a male teacher doing it to their female students.
I have the same reaction myself. When I read it and it's like a guy, you know, I'm like, oh no, I can't believe he did that. And when it's a woman, I'm like, is she good looking?
Yeah, it's like, oh, she's
not too bad.
That's
amazing, right? I went to a school where this would never happen today, but there was a teacher that we had that had knowingly, when she was young and just out of college, she slept with, you know, people thought that if you were lucky enough to get to sleep with her, that was great. And then those guys were like our parents' age, so we knew a lot of them that knew her. Now she's an old teacher. She'd been there forever. She never got in trouble for it. And they were like, oh yeah, you guys should have seen her when we were in school. She was actually hot. And we were like, really? And everybody knew that she had slept with them, and it was like, there was, and she didn't get in serious trouble. If it had been a guy teacher, he would have been in
jail.
Okay, so what's the biggest stereotype or assumption people make about you in regards to dating based on your gender or your age?
I think the biggest difficulty with assumption is when they assume that a guy is going to need to be educated about, say, consent, and that they want to be chaste, but they're willing to say no and then still get mad if you don't continue to pursue them. Because there's sort of two separate things as far as there's a very clear thing about you know, what consent is, and then there's also the nature of a lot of females just like to be chased, so they just assume you're going to do that even if they have sort of said, like, you know, I don't do the following thing. If you listen, then you might make them mad.
And it varies. One girl will say one thing and the next will say the next, so then you're stuck in this vicious cycle of trying to know what to do, and you're just on the offbeat every time.
Should have tried that with the last one.
Yeah, I'm
right
on to
it. See it now.
Now
I'm
on
time.
For sure, though. Love the chase.
I always just steer towards, like, well, no means no, and then even if the girl is like, well, no, sometimes it doesn't mean no, then I'm like, I don't care.
Supposed to say for
me, no means no.
We're talking no means no, so it's like, how many no's are we supposed to take? This is like a telemarketer game where you're saying, oh, you're only supposed to go for 3 no's, and then you don't take the date, or what is it? What are we supposed to do?
The last 3 phone numbers that I got out and about and really felt good about, they approached me like, oh, she's not looking at me, bro. She came up to me, I wanted to meet you. I was like, this is cool.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited. I'm actually excited about this one. Exchange information. No responses when I call or text back. All my messages are blue as hell. I'm so excited about, he's like, I'm gonna call her. And if she doesn't answer, I'm gonna leave a voicemail, because I was gonna be old school and try and be
right.
A man about
gonna
it.
Reach out. Yeah.
Just like a long ass voicemail, no response, no text.
Rick, how'd you feel after that?
I was hurt. I was like, what's the point?
Felt kind of empty.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I see.
And it was all her fault.
No, but it's funny because, yeah, I think the key isn't that there are expectations, it's that everyone has different expectations, right? If you knew kind of like how to act, you know, how, you know, or whatever, like how, what version of yourself to project, you know, that, I think it used to be like that, but now, yeah, girl to girl, I know one girl got mad at me for not ordering for her, you know? Like, I thought we were ordering 2 appetizers. I was like, it just made sense. I'll pick one, you pick one. And we studied the menu for like an hour, you know, and she got kind of visibly angry that I didn't just order one for her, you know.
Especially in LA, when everybody has different
dietary restrictions. Yeah, I thought I was being a nice person. but that's just that's a very small example, but I think it's reflective of the fact that, and it goes for everything, opening doors, you know, is that chivalrous or sexist? You know, it just depends on how... you know, how they perceive this. So you gotta
learn. That's definitely a good point, because I found a lot of times that I, when I'm trying to, you know, be the chivalrous or respectful thing, and then normally it does work in my favor, people are appreciative of that, especially I find some people don't receive that from a lot of guys, and so they they actually appreciate that, but also sometimes like, no, I've got this. Like, I don't want you thinking that you have to do everything for me. And so yeah, there definitely is a fine line with that. But it's yeah, once you kind of figure out with that person, it's just kind of easy to pursue from that point on.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that you guys bring that up, like the chivalrous and being what version of yourself do you present? Because being in this town can shape how you think the women want you to approach them. Because we got a lot of fuckboys, we got a lot of assholes out here that are getting all the play, right? But the gentlemen, we're trying to stay true to ourselves, and we get those type of responses. Oh, you know, I got it, I can do this. And it's like, I know you can, but do you really want to do it all by yourself? Don't you confess with your mouth? Don't I read on your posts that you want somebody nice in your life, but then you get somebody nice in your life, and you want him to treat you like the asshole's treating you, like the fuckboy's treating you? Well, we don't do that. We don't roll like that. So do you want the nice guy or you don't? What do you want? Because I could pretty much tell you that each one of these guys here, we can be the bad boy when it's time to be, when it's that moment. But that's not who we're going to be all the time. Do you want that guy that you can take home, that you don't have to tell him what to do when he goes to these events with you and things like that? You don't have to tell him how to dress. Or you want this guy that's just going to toss you around in the bedroom, which is where we do it. We're not going to toss you around in the living room and just throw you around, knock you against walls, because that's not what you want. That's not really what you want. So it's not our fault, is basically what I'm saying.
We're trying out here.
It's such a career-driven town, being
yes,
where I'm at and my age and everything. I haven't met a whole lot of women that are willing to take my journey with me. They want me to be there already. That's cool. I could have been there and I'll bring you on, right. But I'm not there yet, and it's hard to meet somebody willing to take that journey with me.
Somebody to kind of believe in the potential.
Yeah, some faith in the potential, yeah.
That's an LA thing. Not like looking to learn about this person. It's like, oh, how can this person be advantageous to me in my career? This person going to be look good next to me in this town where, like, branding is a big thing?
Branding, it is. Yep.
It's a lot of women's biggest fear is to be poor or broke, and I get it.
Sure.
LA's a beast, but...
Well, like, and yeah, a generation ago, if you were 30, you probably were set on your career. But now, with the way college is, the way, you know, how many college degrees there are, it's taking all of us a lot longer to get to where we are. And also with more options and, you know, the idea that you can switch careers so many times. You know, I think there's an expectation that if you're 30, like, you're already got your life figured out. But that's not the way the world is now. You know, I'm in med school right now, but I'm acting and I'm writing and doing other things, and it's like they're all kind of going concurrently, but like, you know, I'm not settled down by any means, and I think that sometimes, you know, women or men can expect each other to already kind of have their life figured out by now, but it's a journey, like you said.
It's a good point, because I have some friends that are a little bit older, and the interesting thing with them in their sort of online ideal is that they think that divorced, no kids, is the ideal, as opposed to, because they assume that once a guy gets to a certain age, that it's like no longer cute that he hasn't been married. It now is a problem. He clearly has a psychosis that he hasn't been married. And so, you know, like, for them, they're just like, single, never married, no kids, no thing. But divorced, no kids, that's like perfect. So that's kind of an expectation on, you know, we're not there yet for age, but that's coming.
The joke shows that this person is ready to commit, and they could be like, hey, it probably might not have been his fault, you know, maybe he just hasn't met the right woman yet, you know.
That's interesting you say that, because I am divorced, and I don't see any different type of reception as far as being divorced or anything like that. It's just some bullshit, like I said. Like all these guys are saying, the ladies really expect us to be at a certain level, regardless of where they are in their life. They want us to be here. Oh, I need him to be here. They have this whole list that we're supposed to check off.
I'll let her have some stuff going on her own.
But it's like, how many things off of my list are you checking off of my list? You know, really? Are we gonna go tit for tat like that? I'm like, why can't I right? Just like you, you like me, and we work it out from there.
Right.
Instead of you, well, what kind of car you drive, where you live. You know, so if I live in South LA, it's different than me living in the Valley. I'm still the same nice guy. I'm still going to treat you the way you need to be treated.
Yeah, and LA gives you the opportunity to meet a lot of different people from a lot of different cultures,
right,
and a lot of different experiences. But at the same time, I think a lot of people think that, the other person could be out there. Like, I'm driving with this person, but, like, what about that other person might be out there that's got this, that this person doesn't have.
I think
the grass is always greener type situation.
Right. Like, I heard somebody call it the BBD, the bigger, better deal. Like, they're always waiting for the next sale, the next red apple sale to happen so they can buy the new product and then push this thing to the back of the closet and wear that thing being pushed to the back of the closet.
I honestly think I get Googled when I meet people. And if things don't pop up, I don't get hit back. That's how crazy this town has made me. Like, she probably just Googled me and then I have enough hits and then she probably,
You don't have enough followers.
No. That's true.
I heard a girl actually say, if somebody has less than 2,500 Twitter followers, I don't think they're a real person.
That's crazy.
How do you feel about dating outside of your age group?
Totally open. But I found that based on sort of patterns, I meet more younger girls just being out and about. I don't know, maybe that's where I hang out. Or it could be that I'll be like skateboarding around Santa Monica and just seem like a child. But, I will like find girls that are in their early 20s, and then girls that are closer to my age will think that I'm not serious because they've like seen me dating somebody younger or whatever. And it was like, feels like it wasn't my choice, but that's sort of like a stigma I feel that they want to put that label on, like, oh yeah, he's always dating younger girls or whatever. And it's like, no, I'm open to dating older women. I just don't think they will talk to me yet.
And I'm on the other end of the spectrum, because the way I carry myself, I attract more mature ladies. And the younger women don't think that I can have fun. They don't think I can dance, you know, all this other stuff, whatever fun is to them. They don't think I can do it, that I'm not capable. And so to that respect, I actually ended up marrying and divorcing someone that was 14 years older than me.
Wow.
And yeah, wow. But she looked a lot younger. She looked a lot younger, and I carried myself older, so we thought we were meeting somewhere in the middle until I looked at that driver's license. Yeah, so, it's cool for some things, but certain type of conversations you just miss, because you're raised in different decades. She was more Motown, and that was her, that's what R&B meant to her, and R&B to me meant, you know, more like Belle Biv DeVoe, and you know, Ralph Tresvant, that type of stuff. So even though my music kind of sounded good to her, and the music she listened to, I've heard it sampled on the music that I was listening to, it was just, we were missing on a lot of things. And again, like we were talking about before, she wanted me to be here, but I was only here in my life. And she was expecting me to hurry up and get there in less than a week, and I couldn't do it, so.
I should lend you a skateboard, and you could give me a polish class.
Yes, we can do that. I'll put you in a suit and tie, and the older women will be all over you. I promise you.
Yeah, no, that's that situation you describe, how you were like just a bit off. You know, that's in some situations that kind of is a really fun, you know, learning experience in a way. You can learn from each other, and then other times it can be that sort of divergent, where it's like, you could be stuck in one area, the other person's stuck in the other, and think there's not going to be that kind of combination of mind or thought or feeling. And in a city like LA, where people of all ages are thrown in together with either like acting or music, or just, you know, the different industries that we have here, I think it makes it a lot easier to date or go out with someone outside of your age range, you know, older or younger. Like where I grew up, It was a suburb next to a bigger city, and so. But normally, we're all hanging out with people within like the age range of maybe 3 years. So if you date with someone like 7 or 8 years difference, it seemed weird. But like in LA, like that almost, no one say it seems the norm, but it's like not surprising at all because you'll see people. And in some ways, I think it's a really, really cool thing, and other times, it can lead to those conversations or those differences that we can't get past.
Mid-30s in Midwest, or wherever you come from, is I'd say 8 to 10 years different than in 30s in LA, yeah, as far as career and like youth, the way you feel, the way you live your life, and the way you look. It's a good, I come from the Midwest. It's a solid 7 years. Yeah. Like the kids, the house, the backyard, your whole lifestyle is set at least 7 years behind in LA, unless you blessed and lucky, like I swear, but and that's
I get it.
I see how a woman can be like, oh, he's 33, still hustling, still has a roommate who's in college. That's not that attractive. I get it, but that's the reality here. Like, yeah. It's tough. It's weird.
And right. The women have a legitimate, biological clock as well. They're much more in tune to age because they know that if they do want kids, they've got to have them. And so I kind of get it why they would be looking for a certain seriousness in guys. And sometimes we can be blind to that, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, personally, I have nothing against dating outside my age range. But like you said, there are certain realities, you know, either biological or just where you are in your life. Personally, I haven't dated anybody that much older outside of, one standard deviation, whatever that would be, of my age. But it's funny because you're talking about music, and you're right, music, entertainment, historical events. I was thinking about before what determines the difference between generations. So I think it's some of it's pop culture, like historical events, but also technology. And the way technology is changing faster and faster, I actually think that generations will actually get shorter and shorter. Because, 10 years ago, a 21-year-old and a 29-year-old would be both be talking on, that's the same kind of phone. Now a 21-year-old is talking on Snapchat and a 29-year-old is talking through Facebook or something.
Right.
So there are subtle differences in just the way you communicate, which then lump you into different groups. Mm-hmm. And if that keeps changing faster and faster, then I think people will actually start just dating more and more people like within 1 or 2 years of themselves, just because there's just an automatic, there's a more fluid like connection, whether it's WhatsApp or whatever it is, whatever platform people are like talking on, whatever dating app people are, is the new cool thing, I think it'll change. So yeah, I don't know. I think people will start to. It'll narrow it down. But
who knows? That's a good point though. Yeah.
Okay.
I would say this, ladies, there are good men out there. Okay. And even for you guys that want men, there are good men out there. You shouldn't just settle for who's giving you the attention right now. I think that's what's going on with our social media platform. It just kind of went the wrong way, where everyone's trying to post and do things to get this validation of a thumbs up or a heart or a double tap or whatever it is that you want. That validation, that doesn't mean that this person is going to really, really cherish you. Chances are, the person that you really want, the person that's going to make you feel the best in your life, they're already in your life right now. You're just pushing them off to the side because they didn't come dressed in the package that you ideally want. Again, we're talking about the checklist. You have this checklist that you want, and since they're not checking off enough boxes, they're not good enough for you. But there are good men out there. Look at this panel. All these good men here.
There was a point that you didn't really get into, but the whole like online social dating aspect of things. Like, I think that because of like the swipe left, swipe right nature of dating now, that in a way I think dating is actually probably relying more on prejudice than it was maybe 10 years ago, because you're making these snap judgments without even your conscious realization. And it could be based on anything. It could be based on age. It could be prejudice based on race. It could be prejudice based on just the way that they happen to look in that first picture. So I think, I don't know what the solution is. I can't say, spend more time on each guy, because there are so many people.
Right.
But at the same time, maybe take that into consideration, like you said, give people a second chance if they're outside of your whatever you're
looking for. Yeah. Yeah. I think that those two are very incorporated comments, because we have a world now where it seems as though there's an infinite amount of choice and selection, and it's easy to go, this is exactly what I want, and then just be like, no, and like he was saying, the next bigger, better deal or whatever, it's like, this is closer to the number of boxes I have, and it's easy to forget how special people are. So I'm always like a little bit offended, like, don't you realize how interested I am? Like, at least if it's not going to work out,
right,
you'll remember me. That's a really unique, weird person. And so I try to sort of keep that in mind with everybody that I am meeting and dating, that I'm going to remember them, even though I am sort of benefiting from the infinite pool of talent that's out there, but at least I try to approach it in a way that everything's going to be special on some level. It's like in the Petit Prince, the Little Prince, he says that the adults are always trying to find out number questions. You know, how old are you? How much does your house cost? How much do you make? And kids will ask a question like, what's your favorite color? And sometimes you can find out more about somebody just from a question like, what game do you like to play instead? Or what's your favorite color? Than you can with all those number questions.
And I feel like there is such a stigma now. I mean, it used to be a negative stigma with like online dating and meeting someone. Now it's almost seems like that is more of what people are doing on the regular. And now if you meet someone like out in life, I think people sometimes like question it like a little bit more when, you know, that's a case where I think you should take into consideration, hey, this person was also at the same place as you at the same time doing the same thing. You already have something in common. Like, you should realize, hey, there's a connection. This person might actually be, you know, someone I can connect with. And you know, in a way, it's good to, and when you do have all these people you can meet, but hey, this is a genuine connection you might be with someone. Both decide to get out of your house, go to where it is, wherever it is you are, and you know, that's something you can definitely work off of.
Have some faith in the spark or the vibration. Because usually I'll meet people out and we're talking all night long, have a good old time, and then the social media thing comes in and we become social media friends and learn a little bit more about each other, and then it fizzles out and we forgot that spark we had or that moment we had when we were connected in person. And I feel like that happens all the time. And along with the vibration, people have that checklist. They carry the checklist everywhere they go. That's cool. You can bring it with you, hold small one in your pocket, and just keep it in your head. Like, if that spark or vibration is real, give it a shot. I mean, what's the worst that can happen?
Okay, right? I told you. Fantastic. These guys are so good. Those guys, that was Robert, James, Micah, Tappan, and Daniel. And, you know, again, to all the people out there, men and women, who are like, oh, there's no good singles, oh, there's no good guys out there. I mean, listen, great, right? Really sweet. And I personally know a couple of these guys. I personally know a couple of the girls from the other episodes as well. But some of them I didn't know before this. And, you know, it's just kind of random that they wanted to participate, or not random, as it were. But, you know, again, it's really great to hear from them. Very, very honest opinions about it all, about the dating process, especially here in LA. But, you know, I've been to other cities. I've lived in other cities. I talk to single people in other cities. And this is not unique in some ways. Yes, LA is a very specific place to date, but I've heard similar things in other cities. So this is just kind of like what it is to be single right now. And so, you know, just in everything in life, if we can be aware and conscious of what we're doing and how we're treating each other and all that kind of stuff, just I think everything changes for the better. I feel like every episode I'm on a little bit of a soapbox, but it's true. I just want to speak from the heart and be honest with my thoughts about all this. So again, thank you so much to this man, fabulous man panel. Next week we'll have we have like three more episodes, I believe, in the dating panel interview series. I know I'm sad. We're like halfway through it. It's been really great. I've loved this process. If you missed the first two episodes, go to my website, thedatingadvicegirl.com. You can see the video. I've edited 15-minute or less videos, so you can actually see the people that you're listening to. Or go to my website and click on radio show, and you can actually hear the full audio, which I guess you're listening to now. But if you want to hear the other episodes, go to my website, thedatingadvicegirl.com. Feel free to share these with people, interested parties, as it were. Share the crap out of it. If you know people who would really enjoy hearing an honest conversation about dating from different age groups and ethnicities and religious groups, I mean, just all kinds of different people, please share it with those people. And that is it, you guys. So we'll be back next time with another edition of a dating interview panel series on the Dating Advice Girl radio show on 99.3 KCLA FM in Los Angeles. Thank you guys so much. Bye. See you soon.